Please join me in praying one Hail Mary in honor of Our Lady's Immaculate Conception. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. O Mary, conceived without sin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Well, in second grade catechism class, the teacher asked the children, what were the names of our first parents? And a little girl said, well, the man's name was Adam. And the teacher said, yes, that is correct. What's the name of the first woman? And none of the kids could remember. So the teacher says, well, think of an apple. And one little boy says, was it Granny Smith? The name of our first mother is Eve. The name of the new Eve is Mary. Now, if you want to go to a good article about the Immaculate Conception, which we celebrate today, I'd recommend going to a website called Catholic Answers. If you ever need to know anything about your Catholic faith, just type in Catholic Answers. It's one of the best Catholic apologetics website. It's been around for 30 years. And one of the great apologists is Jimmy Akin. And his article that's online tells us to remember 8 things about the Immaculate Conception. Number one, what does the Immaculate Conception refer to? Many Catholics think it refers to Jesus' conception at the Annunciation, but that's not correct. It is referring to Mary's Immaculate Conception in the womb of her mother, St. Anne. That's why we celebrate today's feast day on December 8th. 9 months from now, we'll celebrate her birthday on September 8th. Jesus' Immaculate Conception, we celebrate on March 25th. 9 months later, we celebrate his birth at Christmas. Number two, just what is the Immaculate Conception? It was defined by Pius the Ninth in 1854, even though Mary's sinlessness has been believed from the first days of Christianity. But it was officially proclaimed in 1854, quote, the most blessed Virgin Mary was, from the first moment of her conception, by a singular grace and privilege of Almighty God, by virtue of the merits of Jesus Christ, Savior of the human race, preserved immune from all stain of original sin. Number three, does this mean that Mary had no sin and never sinned during her life? And the answer is yes. Not only was she conceived without sin and never had original sin touch her soul, but by the special grace of God, Mary always said yes to God. Mary never said no. Mary never committed a sin, a mortal sin or a venial sin, during her entire life. She is the sinless one by the grace of God. Number four, does this mean that Mary didn't need Jesus to die on the cross for her? The answer is no. Jesus redeemed Mary at the moment of her Immaculate Conception. It was by the grace of God and the merits of Jesus Christ applied to her at the moment of her conception that preserved her from being tainted by original sin. So her grace, her Immaculate Conception, comes wholly from Christ. It says she is redeemed in a more exalted fashion by reason of the merits of her Son. She is the first fruits of his redemption. Number five, how does this make Mary a parallel of Eve? And from the earliest days, way back, St. Irenaeus, writing in the second century, says, being obedient, Mary became the cause of salvation for herself and the whole human race. She was God's instrument to bring the Savior, Jesus, into the world. Hence, it says, the knot of Eve's disobedience was untied by Mary's obedience. Eve tied the knot, Mary loosened the knot. It says, what the Virgin Eve bound through disbelief, Mary loosened by her faith. So one of the most beautiful titles of Our Lady is the Undoer of Knots. It's one of the favorite devotions of Pope Francis. You can pray a novena, the Undoer of Knots, referring to the Blessed Mother, that when your life is a mess, when you're entangled in all sorts of things, pray to Our Lady. She can undo those knots of difficulties, you know, financial, spiritual, addictions, whatever they may be, Our Lady can undo those knots in a person's life. So death came through Eve, life came through Mary. Number six, how is Mary the icon of our destiny? And Pope John Paul II refers to Mary as the model of the church. Yes, she is our mother, but she's also the model of what we will one day have in heaven. Because when we get to heaven, we know that we will be also immaculate, because nothing defiled can enter heaven. So either we have to become pure and holy in this world, or it happens in purgatory. Purgatory is where we become immaculate in order to be able to enter heaven. So Mary is that icon. She is in heaven right now as the pure, sinless one, and it is what the church is called to be and what each one of us is called to be. Holy, to be immaculate in order to be able to enter heaven. Number seven. Was it necessary for God to make Mary immaculate? And he says no. It was not necessary, but it was fitting. It was very appropriate and very fitting that Mary would be the pure vessel through which the Son of God would come into the world. God did not have to do it this way, but he chose to do it this way because it was fitting that the mother of the Redeemer, the Ark of the New Covenant, would be sinless, would be holy, would be pure in order to be the vessel through which God would come into this world. And lastly, number eight, how do we honor and what can we do to honor Our Lady's Immaculate Conception? And I would just say a couple of my suggestions would be, number one, wear the miraculous medal. It's called the Medal of the Immaculate Conception. Our Lady told St. Catherine Labouré in Paris, France in 1830 that those who wear the medal, especially if they wear it around their neck, will receive great graces from God. It's called the Medal of the Immaculate Conception, also known as the Miraculous Medal. So many conversions, so many cures and miracles and healings and returns of the sacraments have occurred through Mary's intercession because she wants to lead all souls to Christ. So when people wear her Medal of the Immaculate Conception, it says on the medal, O Mary, conceive without sin, pray for us who have recourse to thee. So it's always sending up little SOS signals to our Blessed Mother. Pray for us. Pray for me. Then I would also recommend that we visit the Shrine of the Immaculate Conception in Washington, D.C. It's so close to us. We just go at a time when there's not a lot of traffic, obviously. But the Shrine, the Basilica of the Immaculate Conception, and try to go when it's so beautifully decorated during this Advent and Christmas season coming up. And I'd recommend going between tomorrow, which is the 9th and the 12th, because the incorrupt heart of St. John Vianney, the patron saint of parish priests, is going to be brought to the Basilica. It's traveling around the world, and so it'll be, you can go and spend time in the presence of the heart of St. John Vianney, the relic of his heart. So try to do that between the 9th and the 12th this coming week. And then, lastly, pray for the church and pray for our country. Pray for the purification, cleansing, and transformation of the church, that it may be the spotless bride of Christ in imitation of our Blessed Mother. And pray for our country, pray for the world, for a greater respect for life. Life is under attack. We live, sadly, in a culture of death. Pope John Paul always said, we need to promote the culture of life, the sanctity of life from the moment of conception until natural death. So again we pray, O Mary, conceive without sin, pray for us who have recourse to thee.